everyone. I'm Laura Kaluger, Senior Editor with Commercial Property Executive, and I'm glad to be the host of a new insightful podcast episode with FTI Consulting Specialists. A gradual but steady return to the office appears to be underway, and businesses are reevaluating their corporate office footprint. It's hard to predict office space needs in this still volatile economic context, but Rob Raymond, Managing Director at FTI Consulting Real Estate Solutions Practice, is here to talk about strategies that work. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So there have been lots of conversations about post-pandemic office space needs. How can a company properly assess its office space needs nowadays?
Well, you know, there isn't really any kind of one solution fits all. But my general approach for all clients is that they should develop a tops-down and bottoms-up needs-based approach to determine what space is needed for about the next 2 to 3 years. But what's more important is to ensure that that plan allows for agility. Many organizations have been having difficulty in identifying and understanding the differences between needs of their portfolio and wants of their portfolio. Mm-hmm. But regardless, we've been seeing a lot more macroeconomic events that impact an organization's real estate footprint. So that's why we're seeing a lot of people shift towards that 2 to 3 year timeframe.
And from your experience, which trend is more prevalent nowadays? The reduction of the office footprint due to hybrid work models or the expansion of the office footprint to accommodate safety requirements?
So lately, the conversations I've been having with clients have been more around reducing their footprints. And the majority of the information that I'm seeing in public spaces and public sources online is that the majority of organizations are also looking to allow workforces to be more flexible. So in other words, allow them to be more remote and hybrid and work how and where and when they want. Right. Of course, you know, there's a couple of exceptions to that you've been reading about, like JPMorgan Chase, for example, that has said that they want everybody to be back in the office.
What are the top things that executives should take into consideration when evaluating their office space needs? How can they anticipate their future needs in this economic environment?
Well, obviously, organizations will be navigating this environment differently depending on their respective industry and culture. That said, you know, my personal opinion is that executives need to be informing those decisions with the leaders who have boots on the ground and real-time experience in these environments. You know, also, I think, again, I'll mention flexibility and agility in office space needs and workplace models will be key, not only in responding to the volatility, but also accommodating a workforce that likely has very different desires and needs as they return to the office over the coming months.
Can you give us an example of how a particular company assessed its office footprint and adapted to its current needs?
Yeah, surprisingly, my example that I have right now, I'm working with an oil and gas client, which is an industry that typically is not known for progressive workplace practices. But they approached us seeking ways to optimize their real estate costs in light of the challenges that their industry is facing, not only, you know, from COVID, but they kind of got dealt a double whammy there.
Right.
So they took the approach of having managers go through each role and decide which roles were okay to work from home on a permanent basis and which ones weren't. A survey was then sent to all those employees in those eligible roles for remote work. Mm-hmm. And the survey asks, you know, once it's safe to come back to the office, did they want to continue to work from home every day or be in the office every day or have some flexibility in between? And given how their office leases were structured, they asked that whatever the employee chooses, they needed to commit to that selection for 2 years. The response came back very surprising that only 15% of employees wanted to be in the office every day, with another 50% selecting this flexible option. So based on that information and the ability to exit their leases, the result is they're reducing their office footprint by 20 to 30%. You know, however, they're also recognizing that there's a lot of work to be done to familiarize employees with new processes and skills of remote work and hybrid work, such as reserving a desk in advance if and when they need to come into the office, mm-hmm. You know, and even managerial skills in terms of running effective meetings, you know, because now they have this new environment that they're going to be moving into where half of the participants are attending meetings in person and half are attending through video chat. And sometimes it can be difficult to manage that disparity of the audience.
What are the financial implications of accommodating this more flexible style of working?
Well, there's the tangible costs, which are kind of obvious and easier to consider, such as converting the workforce to mobile technology, giving them mobile laptop or mobile phones and laptops if they don't already have them. And then you'll need software platforms to enable flexible workplaces, such as workplace reservation systems. The intangible costs can often be more difficult to ascertain, but they still need to be considered. For example, flexible work without policy and governance can lead to a lot of unforeseen risks and complications. You can have degradation of employee culture. You can have employees that end up working from locations that they're not supposed to, or the company doesn't have business already, like a different state they don't have businesses already in. And that can trigger tax consequences for the company.
And it's also harder to integrate new people in the team.
Exactly. Onboarding resources that are dispersed and remote can also be challenging if not done correctly.
The technology sector has been accelerated by the pandemic, with several companies hiring lots of specialists to keep up with business needs. How are these companies evaluating their office space needs? Do they expect to continue to expand as the economy recovers?
Well, the technology sector has always been the early adopters of remote and flexible work. And so we actually have not been hearing from a lot of them. I suspect that, they may have been able to navigate this environment. But unfortunately, I have not been working with technology companies during the pandemic. And now that we're coming out of it, they haven't been really approaching us for help either. So unfortunately, I don't think I have the knowledge or experience to appropriately respond to that.
Several employees surveys pointed to greater demand for hybrid work models, as you mentioned earlier, with others reporting that they're experiencing Zoom fatigue and the appeal of the hybrid or the remote work model is decreasing. Does this mean that office space demand will be volatile or unevenly distributed across different times and days of the week, depending on their work preferences?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Our own company, FTI, and mine and my colleagues, we're all in that bucket. I've experienced Zoom fatigue. I'm actually kind of excited to get back on the road and start traveling for client-facing meetings now. But I have some colleagues that they've loved to not have to travel. They've been able to stay home more, and which they enjoy. So it's, the forced global experience that we all have had in remote work has led to a very disparate workforce across many industries. And like you said, some employees have loved working from home and if given the choice, never want to return to the office. Others, they do have Zoom fatigue and long for having the personal connections in the workplace again. Of course, it's all based on everyone's personality, circumstances, and the environments they have going on at home, right?
Right.
Because of that, if you force everyone to come back to the office, or you force everyone to stay remote, there's obvious turnover consequences. Employees want to have that choice. So in the near term, this could translate into, as you suspected, volatile workspace needs. But again, I'll refer that's also, again, why you have to have agility and flexibility when you're designing your space needs in the next couple of years.
Before the pandemic, leases tended to be long-term, but the health crisis changed that, as you said earlier. What is the most common lease term companies are willing to commit to nowadays?
Yeah, I'm not sure I have an opinion on the most common, but what I can tell you is that even before the pandemic, companies were starting to shift away from these longer term leases that were 10 years or longer. And if they were 10 years or longer, they absolutely were wanting early termination or contraction options in them. I don't really, like I said, I really don't have the statistics on what the most common lease term is. But generally, in the last few years, we've been advising our clients to go for the 2 or 3 years, just because we do see that there are going to be some volatility in workspace needs.
Mm-hmm.
We're even advising that, if and when they can, to leverage co-working. Co-working is a great solution to allow you some short-term flexibility in your portfolio. And if the near term is a little bit more certain, if you have a little bit more certainty in terms of what you'll need, then we still are recommending 5 to 7 years at most.
We've mentioned flexibility, I don't know, 10 or 12 times already. This is a word that we've heard over and over again.
Yeah, since it's starting to sound like a broken record.
Exactly. So is this the norm when it comes to office space needs nowadays?
Absolutely, 100%.
And with increased flexibility, digital tools such as integrated workspace management system and desk booking apps, as you said earlier, are also necessary. How are companies approaching this aspect?
You know, like any other investment, they're doing a cost needs or a cost benefit type of analysis. And typically, smaller companies with less capital to invest are generally able to leverage and expand upon systems already in place, like their Outlook-based reservation system for conference rooms, or maybe a Google-based booking system. You know, larger global national organizations that have deeper pockets and are maybe have a workforce that does a lot of traveling across multiple offices, they might need something a little bit more sophisticated. And so that's when they're seeking the help of consultants to come in and look at their portfolio, look at their needs, and right size these IWMS and workplace management tools accordingly. You know, you don't want to use a hammer to get a fly. And there's a wide array of platforms and products available on the market to choose from based on, you know, what the company's budget is and the capabilities and functionalities needed.
You previously mentioned co-working spaces. Are they bound to become a key piece for portfolio strategy in the post-COVID era?
Yeah, like I mentioned, agility and flexibility, there's those words again. It's going to be a key ingredient in workplace and portfolio strategy. You know, and I don't see co-working spaces going away because of the pandemic. You know, the great thing is we're starting to see greater differentiation and variety from co-working space providers. They're seeing that there's a differentiation of needs in the market, and they're rising very fast to meet those needs. And whether you need just the bare essentials to support an one or two employees working outside of the office, or if you need a higher end, multifunctional, collaborative space with full food, beverage, workplace services, you know, that's also offered in the market. So you have both extremes and everything in between right now in the co-working space.
What can you tell us about a similar concept to co-working, carpo working? Is it gaining ground?
It is gaining ground. It's actually something that's fascinating to me. I'm writing a couple articles on it right now, or a couple white papers. For those listening, I believe you're referring to the concept where companies offer their common areas and collaborative spaces, right, normally used for their own use, but they start allowing them to be used by outsiders or other companies.
Exactly.
Yeah. So a great example of this is, you know, Airbnb, their corporate headquarters. You know, much like you can go online and for them for a short-term vacation rental, you can go online and you can rent out one of their conference rooms for the day, or rent out a few empty workspaces for the day.
Nice.
And of course, you know, you got to go to Airbnb's reservation platform to do that. IBM, AT&T, and a lot of other tech companies are doing this as well. The concept's definitely gaining ground, and it's very fascinating. But to answer your question, at the moment, I think it's more of a solution just for individuals or special project teams needing a workspace for a day or two or a couple of weeks. You know, these, as you call them, corpo working spaces, they have more of benefit to the company that's offering them. You know, it gives them brand image, community and customer outreach. It may even be a source of revenue generation for them. And while there's benefits for people who are using these spaces, at this stage of maturity, I don't see it as a viable solution, you know, for outsiders to get a multi-year agility, flexibility strategy that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. At least not to the extent that it would allow them to reliably reduce their footprint.
So all in all, will the new normal be that much different than the old normal?
You know, I've begun to have a very loathsome feeling when I hear the terms new normal or even back to normal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, my response to that is, how would you have defined normal before the pandemic?
Everyone going to the office, I guess.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, everyone talks about like Google Workspaces being like so cool, and that was kind of like cutting edge. And the thing is in 2003, 60 Minutes ran a segment about the SAS headquarters in Cary, North Carolina, calling it the quote royal treatment and the Disney World of offices, because they had all these incredible on-campus perks and the ability for many employees to work whenever and wherever they wanted to. And that was in 2003, well before Google became synonymous for those types of workplaces. So in terms of struggling to find a balance between how much do we work from home and how much do we work in the office, there were headlines about Yahoo, IBM, and others struggling with this concept in 2013 and 2014. Exactly. I helped a hospitality company shift 25% of their call center workers to work from home back in 2017 before the pandemic. And so if you're thinking about like what a new normal is versus what the old normal is, it kind of depends on who you ask. Our grandparents may have defined a normal work environment as something resembling an episode of Mad Men, right? High-walled cubicles, business attire, banking hours, cigarette vending machines.
Everything.
Right. And millennials coming into the workforce or who already just come into the workforce, they expect open floor plans with glass partitions and casual attire, flexible hours, and maybe trail mix dispensers instead of cigarette dispensers. Technology and culture shift has steadily been redefining normal for decades. And we've been trending towards flexible work and work from home throughout the most recent decade. I think, sure, we're all going to be more germ conscious when we return to the office, and we'll stop, eventually we'll stop giving sideways glances when someone across the hall coughs or something or sneezes. But in terms of core workplace principles, here's some surprising stats from before the pandemic. Co-working, since we brought that up, co-working spaces were growing at a rate of 16% annually. And in 2019, 66% of the workforce already had the ability to work from home. And at any given time during the workday, 55 to 60% of desks and seats in a typical office were not occupied. So, when I think about those figures, I kind of think, if we hadn't had the pandemic and we just kept growing as we were along those trends from 2019 to today in 2021, would our workplace really have been that much different? So I'm not really sure if it's a new normal per se, or if it's really just the progression of our old normal with the addition of a few more reminders to wash our hands and avoid coming to the office if we're sick.
Thank you, Rob, for sharing your insights, thoughts, and tips.
Sure, no problem, Laura. I really enjoyed this.
Until our next audio meeting, visit cpexecutive.com for more podcasts and the latest news on commercial real estate.